Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, January 27th, 2026 City Council meeting. And gentlemen on the City Council and ladies, I guess just the one lady, a couple ladies here. If you have to speak, remember to turn on your microphone, talk in the microphone so Aaron can hear you, correct? And I am told there's a 30th birthday boy here tonight. Is that correct? Yeah. No. But I was asked to sing happy birthday to you, Mr. Opp. But I tell you what, if you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, I won't sing, okay? Okay, I'll do that too.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll sing in Spanish. Feliz cumpleaños a ti, feliz cumpleaños a ti, feliz cumpleaños a ti, feliz cumpleaños a ti. Now, I just read that on AI, so if that's wrong, thank you. That's awesome. 30, right? And you're on, are you on call tonight? Are you working?
Yeah, I'm working.
Oh, man. Are you just going to be chill tonight? That's the hope, right? Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you. Okay, now we have the all-important roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
Hyatt is absent. We have a quorum.
Okay, and we do have a quorum in-house. Mr. Plocher is participating via Zoom, and he's allowed to vote because he is on a work project right now. So, thank you all very much. Okay, the only amendment I have to the agenda is under presentations. I'm going to move number one to number four because I don't know that you all want to hear the school district discussion tonight. However, if you do, you're welcome to stay. But nonetheless, we're going to turn it over to Christy. We have a new community development employee. And Christy, did you want to grab the mic and do a little song for us? Or? Welcome here to your
Not actually a song.
I guess I should meet you too. You started when? Last week?
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I was out of town last week. Sweet.
Okay, so the Community Development Department is expanding. We started out with one planner, one. Now we have two senior planners and our new hire, planner one, Tian Dim. She joins us as a recent graduate from Wheaton College with a degree in urban studies. She participated in a fellowship program which focused on urban leadership. And her academic background emphasized planning principles, nonprofit sector, and the community engagement. So she brings that experience that would help us with community-based development and outreach. That's the emphasis we kind of want to put Tian in. And her role as a planner one will be reviewing building permits to begin with, zoning applications, conducting land use research, and preparing staff memos. So we are very happy to have Tian, and if you wanted to say anything.
Sure, yeah. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having the time to introduce me. It's been a great experience working so far. I have amazing seniors, and I'm learning so much. And yeah, I look forward to serving you all. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh, I want to shake your
hand. I can reach it. Thank you.
And all mayors are reserved like myself, just so you know. Okay, next, I think, Jim, you've got two people, don't you?
Me too. Yes.
Jim, you're just rolling in the money here, buddy.
I have this desk right up front. I can't hold it and talk at the same time. Okay, so we're gonna have two new staff members that we'd like to introduce. We're gonna start out with Cody Evans. Cody grew up in North Carolina, attending elementary, middle, and high school. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that in a few. Following high school graduation, Cody joined the U.S. Marine Corps, serving from 2010 to 2015, achieving the rank of Sergeant E5. Cody was a rifleman in the Marines, and he served two tours in Afghanistan. Very, very impressive. When I was looking at his background and talking about or reading the background and all the awards, I'm just going to name a few, and this is only a few of them. Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal, Combat Action Ribbon, Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, National Defense Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, Sea Service Deployment Ribbon, NATO Medal, and a Certificate of Commendation, and that's just a few. After the military, Cody moved back to North Carolina until 2019, when his longtime girlfriend, Amy, now his wife, they married and moved back to Illinois. They purchased their home here in Yorkville, and they live in Yorkville today. So that's pretty awesome. Cody attended Forbush, I think I said that right, high school in North Carolina, earning his degree there. He attended University of Phoenix, earning his bachelor's degree in business. He was hired by Shorewood Police Department. He attended Suburban Law Enforcement Academy and was certified as a law enforcement officer in 2020. Currently, he's in a field training program for 20 weeks, and he's flying through that. When he completes that, he'll be assigned to the Field Operations Division as a patrol officer on the street. He's joined tonight by his wife, Amy, his three-year-old son, Ezra, and his mother and father-in-law, Dale and Sonny Mikulski. Hopefully I said that right.
Very good.
Okay. During the background portion of the hiring process, each candidate goes through a very, very detailed and intense background. During the background, obviously many interviews are conducted, neighbors, co-workers, employees, family members. I'm going to read three comments. I can read much more, but I'm going to read three. Cody's an outstanding human being. He's reliable, honest, punctual, and an outstanding worker. I would absolutely trust him to be a police officer. Evans is a great communicator, speaks in a clear manner, and is personable. I've seen him in stressful situations. He always maintains his composure, adapts to stressful situations, and treats everyone with kindness, respect, and fairness. He's what you want in a police officer. He's a great man. He would be the ideal police officer for any town. He's disciplined, smart, and shows compassion for people, which is what our police department's about. Cody and Amy and Ezra, welcome to the Yorkville Police Department family. Welcome to the city of Yorkville. I know you're residents here already, but it's awesome welcoming you to the police department.
Thank you.
This kid's 21.
You want to do another knuckles? Boom. Okay, so just raise your right hand and repeat after me. Except for words, let's state your name. You have to state your name.
Okay.
I state my name.
I, Cody Evans.
Having been appointed to the office of patrol officer.
Having been appointed to the office of patrol officer.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the County of Kendall aforesaid.
In the County of Kendall aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the ordinances of the United City of Yorkville.
And the ordinances of the United City of Yorkville.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the Office of Patrol Officer.
The duty of the Office of Patrol Officer.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really? You're welcome. Congrats. Congrats.
Thanks. Welcome. Cheering squad. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. Come on up. And Warren, if you want to join. You don't have to. It's totally up to you. So we have a new position, and I'd actually like to start out by thanking the city council. Simon's position is a training coordinator, evidence custodian position. You remember a couple years ago, we had a shared service agreement with the Village of Oswego where we had hired a training coordinator. That job has become, with all of the training mandates, it has become extremely labor and time intensive. And so this past year, you guys authorized us to hire a full-time training coordinator, but we morphed that into an evidence custodian training coordinator position that was full-time. So I'm going to read a little bit about Simon. I will say that we got a great steal here. We got a great steal.
The cops ain't steal.
Yes, we did. We got a great steal with Cody as well from Shorewood, but Simon, we took Simon from Northeast Multi-Regional Training, which is our local MTU. He is so familiar with the entire process of training, the mandates that we have to meet, and it's hard, it's difficult. And Simon is a great steal for us in that respect. So Simon started with us in December of 25. When he worked at NEMR, he was a mandate in-house training coordinator. He managed 350 law enforcement agencies scheduling an in-house training for reporting to ILETSBE. Subject matter expert in creation and submission of training curriculum. Promoted to program manager for special projects. And he worked closely with ILETSBE. ILETSBE is the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, associated with the crisis intervention training over six county area. Simon comes to us he was raised in the West Chicago area, graduating from high school in 2013. He's a young guy. Associate's degree from the College of DuPage, and he earned his bachelor's degree from Western Illinois University in law enforcement and justice information with a minor in homeland security and political science. Simon grew up in West Chicago, currently resides with his fiancee Lauren in Geneva. Obviously, he's joined here by Lauren. So his current assignment is going to be verification that all sworn personnel meet mandated standards in training. He's also responsible for all the safety, security, and documentation of our evidence vault. Two huge, huge jobs. During the background portion, like I mentioned with Cody, I'm going to give you three different comments that people had said about Simon. Simon will definitely be an asset to the Yorkville Police Department. I hate to see him go, but you're getting someone who is thorough, smart, courteous, and just a nice person. Simon will be an asset. Wow, I was not expecting this, but I totally understand. Obviously, you know who's probably saying that. You're getting an amazing employee in Simon. Simon is extremely smart, and he understands the process. It's not good that we are losing him, but you are getting an amazing person. Simon is a person with integrity, honesty, and dedication. Simon and Lauren, welcome to Yorkville Police Department. Welcome to our city family and our PD family. One of the things that we want to really focus on when we hire staff members, and I want to give kudos out to Ray, Deputy Chief Michalasek, for the hiring process that he goes through for sworn officers, and then our command staff when we interview for the position of the training coordinator. You know, our non-negotiables for our department are honesty and integrity, community policing, and professionalism. We hire two amazing people, and we really believe they're going to meet those non-negotiables that we have as a police department. So welcome to Yorkville.
Excellent. Thank you all very much. Now we're actually to item number one under presentations. We have the Yorkville Community Unit School District. Why 115 referendum plan? Welcome, Doc.
Thanks.
Who's going to do the presentation? You?
Me.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. Welcome. So how do we want to do this?
I think Bart has a clicker for me.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm going to...
Sweet.
Let's see here. Yep, there we go.
Thanks, sir.
There you go.
Yeah, I think the public heard about your presentation and shied away, sorry.
Well, you kicked everybody out before I was...
I thought about it, but like, do they really want to hear this? If you're mad at me, they can take a number, right?
That's right. Well, I do want to send my appreciation and thank the City Council and the Mayor for the time tonight. These are important conversations for our community. We've been having conversations over the last 18 months around our facilities and our overcrowding challenges that we have. And tonight and subsequent nights that will be out in the community over the next 6 weeks will give us an opportunity to engage with the community one more time. And to talk about the community plan that came together, and then obviously the referendum that will be on the ballot March 17th. And we are making ourselves available because we know that anytime we talk about referendum, we're talking about taxes. Taxes are high, and there's no two ways to say that. And so that adds, you know, some real intensity to our conversation. And our goal as a district, and my goal as I engage with different groups around our community, is to provide the information. I want to inform voters that go to the ballot so that the community can make a decision what's best for themselves and the best for the community as we think about our district and our facilities. And so that's what our presentation will be tonight. Hopefully it's about 15, 20 minutes, and then I urge questions. I want to be able to provide answers, and we'll talk more about the town hall meetings that I'll have over the next 6 weeks, but that is going to be every opportunity for our citizens to engage with the district. As we get in here, I think what's really unique about District 115 is, you know, I look at as our district as kind of the hub of the community. We have so many different partnerships with different organizations and entities around our community. It really resonates with the fact that we're all foxes, and I'm really proud of us for that. District 115 is the fastest growing district in the state of Illinois. We provide students with kind of that large school opportunity and advantages while still maintaining and keeping that small town feel. And I think what we're doing is working. Our graduation rate is nearly 97%, which is the best of all of our peer districts and significantly higher than the state average. But not only are we graduating our students at a very high rate, every single school in our district that takes a standardized test, grades 3 through all the way through 12, has been rated commendable by the state of Illinois through their accountability system. We have accolades and accolades won by our students that I couldn't even begin to list, and many of our educators are recognized in the educational field as being leaders. We do this by being one of the most fiscally responsible districts in the state. What you're looking at in the graph there is the per pupil, average per pupil expenditure for some of our peer districts and the state. You can see that the state average for a per pupil expenditure is just under $20,000 per student. In Yorkville, we do it for just a little over $13,500. So what does that mean? That means that we really like to take our dollars and funnel them into the classroom, into the kids. A couple tangible examples there is that our student-to-administrator ratio is 40% higher than the state average. We want to take those tax dollars and put them where they count. We are not a top-heavy administrative organization. We do not take taxes for a bunch of additional administrative costs. In addition, we think about tax dollars when we look at our facilities. I think our facilities team does a great job with extending the life of our facilities. We'll talk later in the presentation that there are certainly upgrades that need to happen, but I give kudos to our team to expand and extend that life cycle. In addition, when we have projects, we try to do them in-house because we know the quality that will get done, and we know that it will be another way to save money for our community. In addition, I give a lot of credit to our current board and our past board. Working with administration, we work within an balanced budget. We have a healthy fund balance. Our fund balance is our savings account. And again, credit to our board, our reserves are in a really good situation so that if we have any interruption from the state or federal funding, we have enough reserves to continue to provide services to our kids. And I give a lot of credit to our organization for that. But we're at the point where this is unsustainable. Our enrollment has nearly tripled over the last 20 years. Every building is overcrowded, with even more growth projected. We had a demographer study done last spring. We are projecting over 800 more students in the next 5 years. We have packed classrooms. We have too many transitions for our students. What do I mean by a transition? Every time a student goes to a different building in our district, that we consider that a transition. So we have some kids that will start at our early childhood center, that will then go to a K-3 center, that then will transition either to a K-6 or a 4-6, and then transition to a 7-8, and then transition to two high school buildings. And so we have 4 and 5 different transitions for some of our students as they matriculate through our system. Every time a student transitions, there's a chance for adjustment, lack of instruction. And so we want to minimize those transitions. We also need to make sure that we're finding adequate spaces for programming. Because we have historically been an underfunded district within the state, and we currently are only funded at 76% adequacy. So what that means is that the district has a formula for funding for school districts called evidence-based funding. They take 27 different variables to plug into the formula to determine what that adequacy number would be. Some of the large variables that they plug in are the number of students who receive special education services, number of students who receive language support, or the number of students who may receive free or reduced lunch, indicating socioeconomic status. And when they plug all those variables in, they will come up with a number for that 100% funding, and we are short 24%. We simply just do not have the resources to invest in our infrastructure to make the necessary upgrades to overcome our overcrowding challenges. Now, our staff, our teachers do an amazing job, but it really is beginning to hamper the ability for us to provide the educational opportunities and experiences that our kids and our families deserve. Now, I will say that I will go up against any district in the state of Illinois with the amount of money and resources that we have put forth for student and staff safety. I think we do a fantastic job in District 115, but there is one big safety that we still have yet to solve, and that is the number of high school kids that walk across Game Farm Road multiple times a day because we have a two-building solution. And that is something that we heard over and over again in our listening session as a priority for our community. I think everybody could agree we have a top-notch music program in our district. We don't have an auditorium. We have band classes literally taught in the hallway. This is an actual picture at an elementary school. We don't have space for our student services. We force kids to receive support in every corner and every hallway that's open. Our health offices are too small. We have special education, self-contained special education classrooms that are in half classrooms, with no proper accessibility to bathrooms, which forces some students to be changed in the back of the classroom. They don't have access to proper therapy or sensory rooms to support their proper development. And we have families that are just quite frankly turned away from our early childhood program because we have no more space. Now, some of our buildings and mechanicals, furniture, they're at the age we have to make decisions about renovation or replacement. We have extracurricular activities that are being requested by our students and our families that we can't accommodate. And currently, our athletic teams don't have enough practice space. The good news is, over the last 18 months, our community has been collaborating on a plan. And I think together, and what I'm really proud of, is together I think we have come up with a community-driven plan that addresses our overcrowding now, while not putting the district in the same position we're in now, which is our backs are against the wall. This community plan is a consensus $275 million plan that will appear on the ballot in the upcoming March 17th election. Combined with a $20 million in district reserve that the district is committing to this plan, this will allow us to solve our overcrowding issues now and into the future, make our school buildings safer, more accessible, and improve the learning environments for all students. This plan will sustainably address our overcrowding issues by adding a new elementary and a new middle school. And you can see that on the right-hand side. That's a drawing, a rendering of what a campus could look like on the new property that was purchased there south of Beecher Road. We would build significant additions to the high school. We would revamp the middle of the high school. We would add a field house, which would add PE space plus extracurricular activity space. A performing arts center and auditorium. We would also revamp the whole fine arts hallway because those classrooms are too packed. And then we would add a significant classroom academic wing on that current high school as well. In addition, we would transition Circle Center Elementary School into a full-time early childhood center. These additional classrooms will accommodate current and future growth, helping us to eliminate that overcrowding. We'll be able to reduce student transitions and provide more space for students to keep class sizes from growing. With this plan, it will allow all of our elementary schools to be K-5. We'll have 2 6-8 middle schools, again, ensuring that we not only reduce transitions, but no matter where you live in Yorkville, you'll have the same number of transitions. We will be able to move all of our high school students over to one campus. This will allow that safety measure to be taken care of. Now, I will say parking is still going to be across the street, because parking's a huge issue. Mayor can attest to that, so we will have a little bit of that. But from an academic standpoint, we won't see kids crossing that street 4, 5, 6 times a day. In addition, we'll be able to complete significant infrastructure work all throughout the district, looking at mechanical systems, energy efficiency, plumbing, parking lots, and building infrastructure. In addition, we can improve ADA accessibility for early childhood spaces, bathrooms, and playgrounds. We will be able to increase and improve spaces for music and performing arts, adding a performing arts center at the high school to provide better opportunities for students in music, theater, and the performing arts. We want to recruit a high-quality staff and retain a high-quality staff. In order to do that, we need to make sure that they have high-quality spaces to do their jobs. And this plan will allow us to have dedicated spaces for our teachers and our staff. This will allow our teachers the opportunity to create stronger relationships with students. We'll be able to optimize space for student services, specialized instruction, leading to healthier students with a social-emotional lens as well. We'll be able to improve our programming spaces for early childhood, accelerated learning, special education, dual language, and collaborative learning. In addition, we'll increase gymnasium space, add the field house for year-round use, which would increase students' wellness and athletic opportunities. This truly is the opportunity for our community to restore pride in the facilities and to give our students the educational opportunities they deserve. With this plan, we'll be able to increase academic performance while continuing to provide that innovative and extracurricular opportunities. Keep class sizes from growing so that teachers really can build relationships and spend time with our kids. Be able to reduce, balance the transitions for our students, and all of this will increase property values for everybody in our community. So the community plan is now on the referendum. And as I stated at the beginning of the presentation, we want to provide facts, we want to provide transparency, we want to make sure that our community has what they need. This QR code will take you to our website. We have put a tax calculator right on our facility website. We want every community member to know what tax impact this referendum would be on their household. We have it throughout our website so that everybody can have the information to make the decision that's best for them. Here is the ballot question that will show up on March 17th. And one of the questions that I've received a lot about this referendum is, what can this money be used for? This money is only going to be able to be utilized for the projects that are laid out in this ballot question. We cannot use this money for salaries. We cannot use this money for curricular resources. It can only be used for the projects outlined and identified in the ballot question. So as I stated, we are going to be out in the community. The following are some in-person town hall dates where myself and my team will be available for this presentation and entertain questions from our community. Starts tomorrow at the middle school. We have four in person outlined there, plus we have an additional session that will be in Spanish for our Spanish community. And lastly, we will have a virtual session for anybody that can't get out in person. You can again use that QR code to register for that virtual session, or you can go to our facilities website and it's on there as well to the link to register. We want to be available for our community. In addition, we're providing any kind of voter information that our community may need. Again, this is on our website, whether it's mail-in ballot voting, early voting, and or polling locations. All are on the referendum portion of our facilities website. And I just want to end the presentation again by thanking the community for the collaboration. I've been at it now for 18 months. We have had sessions that number in the 30s and 40s. And the feedback that we have received and our ability to take that feedback and alter our plans and change the facility master plan from what we heard has been inspiring. And so I thank you for your time tonight, and I would welcome any questions that the City Council has.
Thank you, Doctor. Questions from the council, comments? I know I have a couple, but I'll defer to any council members.
You can start us off.
Okay, I guess
sing,
I'm...
Sing them all, though, for us, please.
Sing? Like a Gregorian chant? So, first question I have is the referendum needed for buildings, even if you have money in hand?
Yes, if we want to build new buildings, we would still need to go to referendum to get permission from the community.
And that is a state requirement?
That's correct.
Okay. Next thing related to the bonds. The bonds are strictly for capital, as you said, not for operations.
Correct.
And so those bonds would be what, probably 25-year bonds?
30-year bonds.
30-year, okay. And then when 30 years comes up, those would expire. Obviously, future boards could pose other questions. But,
correct.
Okay, yep. So it's not a continual one. I guess in my lifetime it's continual, but nonetheless. okay, and you answered the question about operations. What about a time frame? If this passes in March, just give us an idea of what you're thinking for a time frame.
That's a great question. So right
Thank
now,
you.
Working with our architects, we're looking at a timeline. If this referendum would be successful, we would have shovels in the ground this fall. With student movement in our middle school and elementary, the plan would be to open in the fall of 28. So we would make all those great adjustments and have students in new buildings by the fall of 28.
2 years.
Yep. Then with the high school additions, I am no construction manager, so I can't begin to speculate exactly when that would start, but some of that deals with subcontractors' availability. There's some more logistical issues involved with the high school with students. Obviously, the elementary and middle, we don't have to contain with student day and disrupting the student learning environment. And so we would work closely with a construction manager to make sure that our high school additions, we would have a requirement to have the 90% of our borrowed bonds spoken for 3 years after the last bond sale. So we're looking at 2030 being kind of that final area where we'd have to have 90% of our projects completed.
Is there a time frame in which you need to sell all the bonds or issue all the bonds, however you want to phrase it?
We have 3 years to sell those, and then depending on how many times we go to sell bonds, then we'd have some years after that last sale.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, questions from the council? Anyone? Mr. Transier.
Should the referendum pass, when do you expect the tax burden to be on the taxpayer's bill?
Yeah, I believe that would hit. I would confirm my CFO to make sure my timeline is correct, but I believe that would hit in the fall of 27 tax levy.
And would it be an immediate levy, or would it be a gradual levy to that 500 and some dollars that was projected in the presentation?
Yeah, so the board will have options in terms of their repayment structure. They could do a flat repayment where everything would start immediately and at the same. They could do a gradual repayment. So those will be some options that we provide the Board of Education to make a decision on how they would like to structure the repayment of those funds.
And that's going to be a topic of the discussion when you have your town hall meetings with the citizens?
Yeah, that will be a public board meeting as we talk about because we have to go, again, when we go out to bond, that has to be done at a board meeting, so we'll have public discussion.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Good questions, actually, real good. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, Dan just had his hand up first, so.
Thank you.
So, a couple new schools, addition to the high school, Circle Center becomes Early Childhood Center. So we have Bristol Grade School, we have YGS. What's the plan for the buildings that we're not moving students into? And prior to you joining us, the Early Childhood Center was Regrow Kids, maybe, mm-hmm. I believe. So what's the plan with that?
Yep, great question. So right now in our current plan, YGS would look to be demolished for additional green space and parking for our athletics extracurriculars. But we've heard from the community that parking has been an issue around that campus. So we would create more green space and more parking from the YGS campus. Bristol Grade School, we would take that offline so we could look at and have the board have options of selling that property or doing some other things with that property, but we would take that property offline.
So,
I'm sorry, you gave me the third.
No, we broke it.
Yes. So that's in some discussion. I have been open with the board of my desire with that building. I would love to look at that building as an employee daycare to help, again, recruit and retain staff to District 115. I know childcare is sometimes hard to come by, and so if we could utilize that to help recruit and retain staff, I think that would be something that I would like to pursue. That's not anything we've made a decision on. We would have some decisions to make on that, but that is an option for that building.
Did you mention in this presentation or answering Matt's question, the current freshman academy, the old high school?
So there's a couple of things that we could look at the academy. So we know that the academy has still some very useful spaces. We have a wrestling room in there that is utilized. We have a weight room that's utilized. We would take a look at any potential expansion of a career technical education. So right now we expand our CNA program. So we have a partnership with IVIC. And what we've done is taken that program and expanded it at the academy so our students have more opportunities. So we could take a look at reconfiguring space in that building. Part of that building, again, could become more parking. I think the academy has some options that we would have a community discussion around.
Okay. You know, the Bristol Grade School, that was my first school.
It's our only school that's still on well water.
Yeah. And if you want to pay for it, we can get you on city water.
I don't.
Okay. That's fair. Let's see, now I was at Bristol and Circle Center. Bristol, then Parkview, which you no longer have. Then Circle Center, then the high school. So I only went to four schools. Because it was four-year high school, not a freshman academy, back in 1912 or whatever it was. Okay. Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
When you were talking about the academy, so obviously that one is built prior to some of the ADA standards, so there's cost. That, not explicitly mentioned in the referendum, but that being an existing building could be done under current funds that you have. As compared to using funds from referendum, correct?
Yeah, so if we wanted to upgrade the academy because it's not listed on the ballot, we'd have some discretion with our funds and how we use that. There is, depending on how much we would redo that building, would determine what we would have to bring up to code for ADA, depending on what we would revamp and reconstruct in that academy. But because that's not in the ballot question, we would have some discretion on what to do with that building and what funds to use for that building.
Currently, you have about $20 million.
We're committing $20 million to the projects.
Okay. Yep. And with that, if you wanted, you have bond abilities without going to referendum, up to $150-ish million based on that?
We would still need, we could go to referendum or borrow about 130. We'd still have to go to referendum to borrow, to ask to borrow that. 130, somewhere between 130, 132 million. If we borrowed that amount, what that would indicate is that we would keep the our tax rate the same. That would replace debt that's falling off. And we would replace that with, like I said, right around $130 million. And then if we were going that route, then we would still have the $20 million to add, so it would be $150 million total.
Okay, so that's the $150 that I heard referenced.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But that would not get you the field house, the auditorium. The new buildings would be in question because you have specifically named those in the referendum. Because you can't do anything new without referendum that was talked about.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
One of the comments you made was there'd be an increase in property values in the communities with the referendum, with the changes that come in. The tax calculator is based on current values, but would that not forego the increases that assessors would possibly put onto the properties with the increases?
Yeah, I mean, the EAV increases would not be necessarily calculated in that because we don't know what that EAV will be. Working with our third party, PTMA, that does the calculations for us in terms of that tax increase, we haven't included what year over year EAV would look like from an assessor standpoint. That is not included in those calculations.
Okay, so that averaged number across the entire district could go significantly higher. It could, depending on
absolutely
quite a few variables.
Yep.
Doc, I have a couple more questions.
Absolutely.
Unless the other council members have questions. And I know I've asked these before, and I just don't remember the answers, or I'd like them to hear too. Mr. Funkhauser was referencing some different buildings, like field house and or auditorium. What is the cost for those buildings?
Yeah, we worked both with our architect, and we also elicited a construction firm that's in this work for some estimating. And obviously, bidding is going to change a little bit, the price of materials, but what they have quoted us for a field house and auditorium together, right around $60 million for those two additions.
$60 million combined.
Yep.
And that again is obviously an estimate because
yep.
you don't have business.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then, Bart, I want to ask you a question that I think is pertinent for some of this conversation today and some we've been having in the past, say, 6-12 months here at City Council. The percent, and I can't speak to the school district because it's a bigger boundary than the city limits, but the percent of levy that is residential today versus when did you do your analysis? 10 years ago, 15
yeah.
years ago? And what is that again? Do you remember off the top of your head?
So it's city limits, so not necessarily overlapping with the school district.
Excuse me a second. Arden Joe Plocher is now present. Welcome, Mr. Arden Joe Plocher.
Thank you.
Okay, continue.
So city limits only, 10 years, the average taxpayer burden on residential versus commercial and industrial has increased significantly each year. It used to be, you know, right around, I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think it was 76% 10 years ago, and right now it's tracking at 87%, which is not explained by growth in residential construction relative to commercial and industrial construction. When you control for that, the increase in residential property values has outpaced commercial and industrial, even including construction. So the property tax burden on residential has greatly increased in the past 10 years.
So that is, you know, I think many of you, many people in this room have heard for decades, at least 15 or 20 years, that property taxes are relatively high in Kendall County and Yorkville, and there's no arguing with that. That's a fact. Part of that is, as Barb was saying, the percentage of the EAV that's residential and versus commercial. So if there were an opportunity to get some commercial, that might reduce or ease the burden on the residents. I don't know what that opportunity might be, but it's just something we should consider looking at. questions and or comments any further? Mr. Funkhauser, or oh, Mr. Merrick.
Yep.
Like ping pong.
One question. we're doing this because we're planning for future growth. Some people have been here in York for a while, and I'm not one of the Yorkville graduates. It's stated essentially when the current buildings went in, they were at capacity. So as we're projecting this, what potential, like, are we good till 2050,
yep.
2060? Have we made those kind of projections?
Working with the demographer, they're really only comfortable projecting out somewhere between 10 to 15, 12 to 15. Anything beyond that is there's not a lot of reliability because of all the factors. This would give us our space, according to the projections by our demographer, over the next 12 to 15 years. At that point, the community probably is going to have to engage in another conversation if the rate of growth is staying at the same rate that we're seeing right now.
One of the other things I've seen, if we talk about a national landscape, it sounds like student enrollment's about 8 to 9% up on average, but ours is substantially higher than that.
Most districts in the state of Illinois are flat or declining. We're seeing that in the suburbs, we're seeing that across the state. There's only a very few number of districts that are actually growing. So we're certainly outpacing all of their districts in the state at this time.
And then with the buildings that we talked about that are closing and or shifting, you know, staff like Circle Center, what's the plan with the staff that you move to K-5, you know, True 68,
yeah.
Middle School?
Yeah. So we'll work together closely with the union in terms of staff movement. And then, you know, often people think about a new middle school and a new elementary school that we would be hiring 200 new staff members, when in actuality we're closing buildings, so we're moving staff. So there will be some staff addition, but most of that is reallocating staff to buildings. And so we'll work through a process for our current staff in terms of where that model shifts as sixth grade leaves elementary, goes to middle, and then we move those K-3 teachers into those K-5 buildings. And so there will be some personnel additions, but it isn't on a grand scale because of the reallocation of resources.
Mr. Funkhauser, do you have anything else? I thought I saw your hand.
Yeah, I've got a couple comments, just personal. You know, I know this is a big pill to swallow for a lot of residents. You know, Mayor talked about the tax burden that we all bear. My youngest is just about to graduate, so I'm just about done with the district. So I've seen the growth. You know, I've been up in this position for about 15 years now, so over that time, there have been a lot of new residential things that have come through, and it's not just Yorkville, because Montgomery feeds into it. There's a piece of Oswego, piece of Plano. It's more than just Yorkville. So this growth is predominantly Yorkville, but a lot of it is not. One of the key things that I know you walked into when you came here is kind of a mess of planning from the past 20-some years. I think a lot of the prior board and administration had their head in the sand, because Yorkville's been growing for the past 15 plus years consistently. I mean, there's only been a few new residential projects approved in Yorkville since I've been here, two of which were actually residential but non-student generating, because there's 55 and older communities. So if anybody had the foresight to actually look at the growth of the past 15 plus years, they would have seen that, yeah, Yorkville's in trouble. Yorkville's having problems with their growth. But prior administrations failed to do that. So now we're in a kind of really crappy spot to be looking at this as a collective, fix all the problems all at once, because yes, schools should not be deteriorating the way they are. You guys have a good cash reserve. Obviously, some of those things should have been fixed prior. They were not. So now we're playing catch up 20 years later. So what I'm getting at is, this is a really crappy position to be in, that the residents are going to be shouldering a very significant burden. Our students deserve everything we can give them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a good district. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids are a product. I know we've got a few Yorkville grads up here too. So, you know, it's a testament to the success of the district overall. This is going to be tough. I know that. I've struggled, because I don't hear a lot of positive feedback from the community at all for this. You know, what I hear is, yes, add educational spaces. You know, forget about the field house, forget about the Fine Arts Center. That's the kind of feedback I hear. But educational spaces, that's the primary thing that needs to be done, but there's a lot that goes into that. So
sure.
I know you guys looked at all the options, the lower end, the 150 versus the 275.
Yeah.
That is a true challenge to come in and present the 100% wish list.
Okay.
So with all of that, I struggle with it, you know, in terms of trying to justify, because I know my kids will be done, but it's not fair, you know, not to continue the funding for education for those who are also going to be coming through after my kids are gone.
Sure.
So, I don't know if you can answer this, but from your feedback, what do you think is the success of the first time referendum passing?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I tell you, if I was able to answer that, it'd be a different business, making a lot of money. But it's the right question to ask. I would like to just explain how we got to it. Through our listening sessions last year, where we went to every single school, we held community ones, we also put together a 15-person, 17-person steering committee. That steering committee consisted of business owners, parents, some building administrators, central office administrators, board members, and four students. And as we were receiving the information in, we started creating options to solve our challenges. And at one point, we were at about 30 different options. And we had to kind of go through pros, cons, what would work, what didn't work with, from an academic lens, a logistical lens, taking into consideration how much money has just been invested in certain facilities. So we took a lot of variables in there to come up with four options that we provided to the Board of Education in June. And we asked the board in June to say, can we move forward with these options to move to the next phase of community engagement? And we got the approval there in June. This fall, what we did is we had a phone survey. I had four in-person sessions and a virtual session. We had a link on our website where you could fill this out. And we asked the community out of those four options. We took big projects and we said prioritize those projects 1 to 10. And then we asked other questions around, would you rather see pay more to have your kids in a neighborhood school rather than a kindergarten center that might be less expensive? Would you rather see X or Y? So we gave the community various options to give feedback. And based off that feedback, we actually went back and changed our final three options based off of what we received. And then out of those final three, we conducted another phone survey and then had that link again on our website for the community to provide input. And all three options that were provided had what was called a favorability rating. Option number two, which was kind of a hybrid, actually had the lowest rating from the community. Option number one, which would have been the cheapest option, had the highest favorability when you look at just favorability. And then option three, with what we went with, was the second. But then when we asked the community, if you had to choose one to prioritize, what option would that be? Option three was the highest chosen option from our community on prioritization. And so what we presented, we partnered with a company called E.O. Sullivan. They presented that data to our Board of Education. All of the data pieces there, they broke it down by age demographic. They broke it down in several different variables and demographics. And that came out to be what was considered the most prioritized plan. And so that's what we put forward based off of the data that we received from all of the community engagement that we received. So just to give you a background as to why we went with the plan that we did.
And then one follow-up. What is the plan, or have you discussed with the board what happens if it fails?
Yeah, we haven't had in-depth discussions yet. I believe in positive mojo. But we've had some internally in administration, some ideas and thoughts. If the community comes back and says, no, actually that's not the plan that we want, then, you know, I think the first step we would do is working with our company, we would make sure to find out exactly why that referendum failed. Was it solely based on price? Was it because there was something missing in terms of a project or too many projects? We would want to find out exactly from the community why that wasn't successful, because that would then give us the strategy. What's fortunate from a timing perspective is if this were not to be successful in March, we would have the ability in the November election to right size, depending on what the community gave us in terms of feedback of why it wasn't successful.
Anything else, Mr. Funkhauser? Mr. Merrick, and then I'll go to Mr. Soling.
Actually, you know what? All right. So, I guess a little bit kind of relates to what Chris is saying, but it relates more so to the general feedback that I've been seeing. And I think this was just kind of publicized in the last kind of couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. On the Yorkville 115 website. The renderings we're all seeing are external. As you go through your additional listening sessions, is there going to be some kind of conceptual viewable plan of what it looks like internally? What does that field house look like? The extension that is on the north side of the building, you know? So, because a lot of it says, we talked about space for students, but we see a little addition.
Yeah,
because
sure.
It's hard to see. We're looking up top.
Sure.
Yep. The buildings for the middle school and the new elementary school are, you said, just like one kind of general concept. I think that's advantageous if it isn't something that we have. And again, we'll run out against the clock here.
Got
it. Right?
Yes.
Kind of give or take.
I know. It's
that would go a long way.
Yeah.
That's good for us.
This is awesome.
You'd be able to see yourself.
Values,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, where are the students going to be? You're showing us pictures of the hallway. What does that look like now? Is that your classroom?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we, to your point, I think, and that's an interesting concept that we've had a lot of discussion about, because there's a point to be able to see our kids and what that space would look like for our students. Without getting into too much detail, because we haven't designed yet. You get into too much detail, people start to say, I don't like that finish. I don't like that color. I'm voting no. But what we'll have at every single building, so if you go to any of our school buildings plus the district office, we will have gigantic boards that actually have renderings. So you'll see a couple of the pictures I had in the presentation tonight. So you'll see, you know, the overhead of the campus of the middle school and the elementary school. But then you'll see a little bit more detailed view of what the front entrance would look like, what the library space might look, again, renderings might look like.
Yeah.
We show the inside of what that field house could look like with 6 basketball courts. And then we show a view of, again, what the Performing Arts Center could look like from the second balcony. So we try to illustrate what some of those spaces could look like for our community and our students without getting too detailed. But that will be on in every single vestibule of every single school. And then at my town halls, we will also have that posted so that the community can see some visual representations
right.
of that.
And I'm assuming they'll be on the website.
Absolutely.
Brent's you're probably going to do a podcast like all of them.
Yes.
Mr. Solon?
Just following up on what Matt said, it kind of was what I was thinking the same thing was, with this expansion, has there been any emphasis on spaces for special needs? I had 2 special needs kids that went through the school, and I see what you about the small self-contained classrooms. Being able to have more of a visual, especially when it comes to the special needs kids, I think would be very advantageous.
Yeah, I think part of the power with this plan is that we'll be actually regaining space back, right? So it doesn't mean that we're going to build new special ed necessarily in some of our buildings, but we've overtaken that because of the sheer overcrowding. And so with right-sizing the population in each building, we'll be able to reclaim space and redefine that space. Oftentimes what happens in school districts is with certain programs, whether it be self-contained special education programs, they end up being in buildings where there happens to be available space rather than being in facilities that are good for the program. And this will allow us to evaluate facilities to say, what is the facility that is right for this program? So then we can make sure that the facility and the rooms are appropriate for the development of that program instead of moving them from building to building, depending on available space. And so part of the plan is new. Part of the plan is our additions. But I think the community needs to know part of the plan is we get to regain space we've lost over the last 7 years because of the overcrowding to be able to appropriate it out to appropriate spaces and programming needs. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I just want to follow up on a couple comments. I do agree that this is it's challenging. It's a lot of money, and as we mentioned, taxes, people struggle with taxes. I don't go as far as saying that all the previous boards were neglectful. I think to myself, if a board in 2008 or 2010 or 2012 would have said, yeah, let's go for a $100 million referendum after we just had a huge housing crash and property values dropped 20%, I think they would have just been, strung at the nearest light post. And then from that point, the town had growth, albeit much, much slower. And it started picking up maybe in 18, 19. And from my understanding, talking to previous board members, you know, unfortunately I have good relationships with many people in the community, including previous board members, there was discussion getting ready, taking place on referendums or doing some improvements. Well, it happened in March of 20, COVID. We had our kids at home. Are you telling me the community would have supported a $150 million referendum when our kids were being educated at home? I just think part of it was just, you know, bad timing, a couple real challenges with our society and our economy. And, you know, I give this board credit for tackling this. It's not an easy task, as we know from some of the projects we're dealing with. So I do appreciate you coming forward and giving us the option as a community. It's not easy. And we're still working on our end to try to help you out. I can't obviously guarantee anything, but we're definitely trying our best. So other questions or comments?
Is there a way to keep the walk across Game Farm? Because I really enjoy seeing the kids on days like today in shorts and T-shirt. You know? I
mean, just pure entertainment value.
It absolutely is. I get stuck in it lunchtime most every day, yeah. But watching them go like this without their coats on and their Crocs.
We'll see what we can do.
That's funny. I hear about it every day. I had to cross the street three times today or four times.
But none of them wear coats.
Yeah, they're in shorts. Some of them wear coats. Oh, mine would go do that.
It's stylish. Although our police department put out a nice post last week. Kids, you don't have to just wear a sweatshirt. You can actually wear a coat. I think it's basically what it said.
A lot of credit to Chief on that, I think. 105,000 cops or share views on
105,000? Are you kidding me? That wasn't just Yorkville. Was that done through AI, through like a data center? I mean, how do people share that stuff? I just don't know. I really don't know that. Excellent, because there's not that many people in the school district or the town. Excellent. Any last questions, comments? Yes?
Not really. I can keep comments to say, you know, I'm sure we got back to you after the meeting before. There's some concerns with residents that live on River Road.
Yes.
On the Schaefer. So we just want to make sure that, you know, that's kind of part of the consideration that's communicated as well.
Yeah, when I was at the meeting for the rezoning, as you can see from the renderings, we're looking at really only developing the north side of that property, so the southern maybe 40 acres, 40, 50 acres. We are not planning on River Road as an access point. And we are not planning on taking Beecher all the way to River. We don't think that would be advantageous for a school campus to have a thoroughfare. So that is not a part of our plan right now. We would have just a north access point to that campus.
Would there ever be a future thought of the connection of the middle school, elementary school, and the high school campus?
Yeah, so that's actually a little further than you think. And then there's some other properties that would be in the middle of that. So there would be some logistical hurdles that we'd have to challenge. I won't say no, but I think that would be an expensive addition and connection. But, you know, I'd be open to discussions for partnerships and collaborations.
Other questions or comments? Matt, thank you for bringing that up, because that was definitely a question that was raised. I haven't heard about it in my hardware store a couple days later from somebody who sat here. They were nice about it, though. Okay. Doc, thank you so much.
You. Appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all sticking around. I thought you might want to hear other stuff, but... Thank you all. We'll see ya. Okay, we have no public hearings. Are there any citizens who would like to comment on items on the agenda? Anyone who'd like to comment on items on the agenda? Please, just for the record, state your name. Thanks.
Dave Hubert. I live in Ward 1. I usually come to these once in a while just to follow up on what you're doing with the water system. I didn't see anything in the packet this meeting that pertains to that. I'd like to see a regular reporting on progress on that and see where we are with the 10% mandated water loss progress. Let me say, just in the last meeting, there was a nice packet. One of the guys over here reported on it, the approval of borrowing $170 million from WIFIA. All well and good. I don't know that anybody really recognizes that the debt service on the total water system is very close to $500 million. And after hearing the school presentation, this little community is going to take on over $1 billion if that referendum gets approved in debt service on the money borrowing of about $500 million total between the water system and the schools. I could be a crabby old retired guy and say, this is crap, I'm not paying for this. Because what I would say is, between the schools and the additional cost of water coming to my house, you're asking me to cough up $1,000 a year easily just for that, not to mention all of the increases I get in my taxes anyway. Nevertheless, I'll tell you, I grew up in the 60s and 70s in Naperville. When they had one high school, and I was in that high school, overcrowded. And I will support this. I will go and vote for that school referendum because you need more people here. You cannot be a community of old people like me who will be gone, not around, not alive when you retire that debt. You need families here. And it can't be just a town of 55 and older surrounded by data centers and solar farms. So the only other thing I'd like to say is, all of you, when you get your water bill, take a look at your water bill. My last two water bills come to me and they say, this is an actual reading. And each one said I consume 900 cubic feet of water. Actual, not 901, not 874, 900, but they're labeled actual. I think there's a little problem with the billing system, the way you're tracking the water, and I would hope to see that there's some more attention paid on that water system. Because if you don't have water and you don't have good schools, people aren't going to move here. And you need more people. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? You're not going to stick around for the rest of the meeting?
I have somebody at home that needs some assistance more than this sport.
We'll see you. Good to see you.
Davis. I think everybody got at everything I was going to touch on, but I'm not quite as old as John. I may look at, he was before horses, I guess, or before cars, but I went to Yorkville. I was a graduate in 96, and I believe it was 98 that the new high school opened up. I'm not for sure, but...
No, it was in the 2000s.
We left Yorkville, right? 99. Well, either way, yeah, in 96, it was down. There was not room to get around the hallways. Accessibility to locations in the school were tough to get to. And even being able to participate in extracurricular things was extremely limited because, well, they didn't have the space. So the bottom line, I guess, I would say I'm in support of the referendum. I feel confident that they're going to use the money properly. I do, like Chris brought up a couple of things, and Matt, you brought up a couple of good questions. I don't know, maybe I'm throwing too much trust out there to say that we need the whole referendum, but I mean, I've lived Yorkville's everything's too small, and piece things together. On a side note, to add to what John had mentioned about the old board, gosh, I couldn't imagine being the old board and trying to deal with getting kids into school. I give my hat is off to them that they kept our schools open and our kids had interaction. They had normalcy and, you know, that the world wasn't ending with all the fear mongering that was going on. I think they did a really banged up job keeping that stuff rolling. And as goes with the teachers for dealing with all that, I mean, the entire staff that had to just be just short of a nightmare between one set of parents saying, everybody just needs to be normal, and the next set of parents, the world is ending. I can't even possibly imagine being stuck between those two worlds. So I guess my bottom line is I'm in support of it also. And, you know, I think that it's easy for everybody to sit up here on Monday morning quarterback, you know, 5 years later. But I think a lot of our growth came from the COVID. People were getting out of the concrete jungle and didn't want to be pinned down any longer. And I think that was where at least I saw a lot of the growth come out this way. 18, 19 was good. 20 was just absolutely crazy at multiple different levels. But anyway, that's all. I just wanted to drop that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak for public comment or citizen comments? Oh, your time's up, Fred. Dude, come on. Okay, go ahead.
I cannot wait to tell other neighbors that are losing their minds on River Road about the plans that are there and share those pictures. So it's exciting to see that they've factored in not just running more traffic down there. That's, my hat goes off to them on that, too. So
Thank you. Anything else, Fred? You sure?
I'm good. I'll call you tomorrow.
I'm sure you will. Okay, anyone else?
If anyone on Zoom has citizen comments on agenda items, please raise your hand virtually or type your name into the chat and we'll unmute you.
Doesn't look like it.
No? Okay. Thank you all. Next, we have consent agenda, and I don't remember if this is normal, if it's just because a couple items on here, we need six votes, six affirmative.
There's one, yeah.
One item, number nine, requires six votes. Number nine is a resolution approving quote from Metronet. Oh, that's to supply internet for the new public works building. Is that for 3 years?
Five.
5 years. And what was that, like 25 grand or something like that? I don't know.
Right at 25,000.
Total, right? Not per year. Yeah, total. Yeah, okay. So, okay. Anyway, so I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve via roll call the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
I heard trans ear next. And maybe it's just because it's a shorter distance. Or I got a bad ear. And that includes bills, $4,946,081.45. Ordinance authorizing acquisition of easements for the installation of utilities at Grand Reserve 28. Water reports for October through December. Ordinance accepting dedication of public improvements located at 107 East Stagecoach Trail. Resolution approving a request for change in plans and engineer's final payment estimate for the 2025 Road to Better Roads project. Ordinance authorizing the grant of certain easements for the construction of improvements to the city's water system. Approving change order number two relating to the 2024 sewer lining improvements. Resolution approving an engineering agreement with EEI. I already read number nine. Ordinance accepting dedication public improvements within Grand Reserve Unit 7. They're finishing that thing out. And Treasurer's report for November and December. Okay. That.
I did have a last-minute change on item six, which is the DuPage Water Commission site easements.
Okay.
There are some changes to the signature line and the preamble, so I'm just requesting that one to be tabled until the next meeting.
Okay, so the motion and second I heard were with number six removed. Is that correct?
Right, that's fine.
Thank you. Okay, that requires a roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That's seven. Okay. We passed. Okay. Next. The mayor's report. Looking for a motion and a second to approve an ordinance authorizing acquisition of property for roadway purposes pursuant to eminent domain. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Transier? Second, Merrick? Bart, this is the property along Kennedy Road?
Yeah, we have funds available to redesign Kennedy Road pursuant to the Grand Reserve Annexation Agreement. That roadway work is ready to go, has been for about 2 years. One of the last hurdles we need is about a 30-foot right-of-way strip from the Blackberry Oaks Golf Course development. The fair market value of that strip of about 30 feet along the front end of their clubhouse area is just under $2,000. And we've been trying to work with them on voluntary annexation or acquisition of the property for about 2 years, which has resulted in two project delays now through two construction seasons. At a cost to the public of probably $75,000 to $100,000, disputing a $2,000 easement. We will continue to try to voluntarily negotiate acquisition of that easement with the property owner. It's just if that doesn't work out, we don't really want to wait another construction season to acquire the parcel. We would proceed to eminent domain. So that is the request. During those voluntary negotiations, we did look at moving the roadway at a greater cost than the construction delays so far, as well as a time delay, so that would further increase costs. And so we felt this was the best way forward, unfortunately.
And we did also have serious discussions, and we were actually ready to put on the agenda for a vote an annexation agreement where we were going to provide a free water hookup. Isn't that correct? Yeah, I think we're going to run it to them, weren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, up to the building. And we were literally days away, and they change your mind for whatever reason.
The tax as well, right?
Yeah, for their property taxes for the Yorkville portion for 10 years. Yeah, so there's definitely been some effort. And what is it, about 30 foot by how long?
1,200 feet.
1,200 feet?
Yeah.
So about 1/20th of an acre, roughly?
Altogether with the permanent easement, it'd be about 0.84 acres.
Oh, okay.
So it's less than an acre in full, and it's a temporary and a permanent easement
okay.
for construction project.
Questions or comments? Mr. Merrick.
Is there an expectation there's going to be any disruption to the actual golf course itself?
No.
Okay. How many trees are going out?
I believe the last estimate was 8.
I think 8 to 10, somewhere in that range, yes.
Trying to minimize the plan to replace those.
You know, we're committed to giving them more than their fair share of trees. Obviously, those are going to be mature trees, and so we'll have to, you know, compensate them with additional trees that are younger, right. Obviously.
And part of the Kennedy Road reconstruction, at least the initial preliminary concepts, go back as far as 2004. Is that correct?
They do. They're required as part of the annexation agreement from Grand Reserve, which was actually approved in 2003.
And the money, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Transier.
And the money for this construction was provided by Grand Reserve.
It was, and it's been sitting there, being eaten away by construction inflation year by year. So we're still hoping that we're going to be able to, you know, accomplish it within the funds that we have available.
And this is the same Grand Reserve that continues to be built out and add more residents and hence more cars?
Yes.
And students.
And students.
Okay, I saw Mr. Plocher and Mr. Funkhauser. Oh, I didn't see Mr. Funkhauser.
Normally, I'm not in favor of eminent domain, but we've been more than willing to work with them, and they've just said no one too many times, so I will be more than in favor of passes.
And those trees contain no spotted owls, is that correct?
They do not.
Okay. Just now that, for you young people, that's long ago. That's like the 90s or 80s even.
Don't want to bring that up.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? And this, does this require 6 votes or not?
No.
Simple majority.
Oh, okay. Well, there's 7 of us either way. I don't know. Okay, roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Is that a yes?
Nay.
A nay. A no. Okay.
Cornelius?
Present.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Present.
Merrick?
Yes.
Coke?
Aye.
So we have...
Presents go with the firmer or the majority. How's that work?
Yeah, I think it's 4-1-2. I think the mayor gets to vote to push it to 5, and then the presents kick over to the yes.
You can't use the presents to make them make the winning vote.
Yeah, so you would have to vote to then vote. Kick it up.
So it's 4-1-2?
Correct.
And then I vote yes. That makes it 5.
Correct.
So...
And you get to the 7.
Okay, so we got our votes in. Okay, motion passes. Okay, next, Oh, Public Works. I can turn this over. Who's that? Is that Ken?
No.
Rusty?
I'm taking right over for Craig there just today.
Oh, it's you. I forget. These committees change all the time. So, okay. Go ahead, Rusty.
Looking for a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of one 2025 Peterbilt 567 tandem axle truck from Winco Equipment in Maryville, Indiana, an amount not to exceed $338,577, and an ordinance authorizing the Fifth Amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2025, and ending April 30th, 2026, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
This is so for motion, that's for A and B. This requires 6 votes, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So how does that work if they vote present?
You can't use the votes to the abstentions, you can't use to make it.
Well, they weren't abstentions, they're presents. Well, let's vote and see what's happening. Yeah, yeah. That's different, though. Present abstention is different.
Did we get a second?
No, we didn't.
Was that a second, Mr. Mayor?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, discussion on this. Oh, we determined, Rob, when we're talking about accounting, we determined to say, all you people don't know this, all 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 of you left in the public, or press, I guess I could include you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I counted Aaron too. Anyway, so for thousands of years, they've talked about Robert's rules. They did not know that they were talking about a future Robert's rules. When we're talking about the budget, they're Robert's rules. Anything that has to do with money, it's Robert's rules. So Robert's rules, we need to brush up on those. Nonetheless, we need 6 votes on this, right?
Are we able to vote now?
I'm done, yes. Roll call.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I guess we don't need to worry about that this time, do we? Those profits from thousands of years ago. We're talking about you, Rob. Okay, Rusty, item 1C.
A motion to approve a resolution declaring certain personal property surplus and directing disposal of same and authorize mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Koch. Discussion. Roll call.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sweet. Okay. You got some more. Holy cow, you got a busy agenda here.
Yep. 2025 local road program change order number 1. A motion to approve the 2025 local road program change order number 1 balancing and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Your second?
Second.
Funkhauser? Discussion? Roll call?
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated. Motion to approve with Engineering Enterprises 2026 bridge inspection services authorized the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Your second?
Second.
Plocher? So interesting, as I was working out today, I was reading my August IMO review and they had an article about bridges in Illinois. And it states, somewhere in here it stated, 9.3% of bridges in Illinois are, quote, classified as structurally deficient, meaning one of the key elements is in poor or worse condition, end of quote. And Rob, not Rob, Rob the prophet, Robert's rules. Anyway, Brad has informed me in our latest study, 2 years ago, right? This is required every 2 years.
Yes.
We had zero is structurally deficient. So great job to all of you and the council here and previous and staff. So anyway, I just thought it was very appropriate timing, right before the meeting. I got a nice little reading here. Okay, roll call.
Solling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next, we have a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of replacement pumps for the Raintree and Rural Street lift stations in an amount not to exceed $73,535 and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second. Anyone?
Second.
Solon? This is budgeted, correct?
Correct, it is.
And these are about how old again?
They are original loaders. They are 2005 and 2007.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Roll call.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Solling.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
A motion to approve the MTF resolution and cost estimate for the 2026 Road to Better Roads program and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Questions or comments? That's for $1.3 million estimate, correct?
Correct.
Keep getting those roads done. We're catching up. Almost done with those subdivision clusters, correct? After this year or next year, I forget.
Well, they never stop, but the original one.
Yeah. So
certainly, we're trying to get through this year and part of next year, yes.
Ken, we're getting there. We're trying like heck not to have to borrow for those. So far, we've been successful. So thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Solling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Last item, a motion to approve a resolution approving an agreement for land acquisition consulting services with Matthewson Right of Way Company and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Questions or comments? Have we used this company before?
Yeah. We have. Yeah, this is the second supplement we've approved with their contract.
Excellent. Roll call.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Solling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
You did a wonderful job. I think Craig conned into that one. He sounded fine before the meeting. Okay. Economic Development Committee.
No report.
Public Safety Committee.
No report.
Admin Committee. Oh, we have an item on admin.
Back to me on that one. A motion to authorize staff to continue with Alliant Insurance Services, Inc. as the city's health insurance broker and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Second.
Second by Transier. Bart, this is a company we used. We got a couple different proposals. We felt this company had the most complete services. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that went through committee as well?
It did.
Okay. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Solling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yeah.
Motion carries.
And they've done a very good job for us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So excellent. Thank you. Okay. Park Board.
No report.
5 months. World Cup, 5 months. Less than 5 months.
I guess the Olympics is only a couple of weeks.
Yeah, when does that start?
Just a couple of
2 weeks.
Or is that like after the Super Bowl or before the Super Bowl?
I actually think it starts the day of the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think. Like the opening ceremony.
No, the Super Bowl is part of the Olympics.
Friday, February
6th. February what?
Friday, February 6th is the opening ceremony.
Wow. Have they no appreciation for the Super Bowl?
It might be in your August version of IML.
It might be in August of 24. I got about 15 of these I haven't read. So, is that Italy?
Yeah.
Is that Cortina, does something or whatever?
Milan.
I thought they had it there before.
They had it in Turin.
Turin. Oh, okay. Do they have snow there this year? Anyone know? Just curious. Okay, anyway. You're supposed to be looking that up for me, Aaron. Okay, Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
You sure, Christy?
I'm sure this week.
It's been kind of quiet. Day to day. City Council? No.
No report.
City Clerk?
No report.
Chris or Craig? The bookends, either one of you?
Actually, Ken has one.
Ken? You have a community and or liaison report?
I'm going to refer to Tim. I think our parks got an award, and I think some of our members offered a class and participated in a conference, right?
Well, the state on the Parks and Recreation Conference starts tomorrow, actually, through Saturday. And we did win an award for the Rotary Playground, for the special needs playground that we got to grant with Game Time. And park staff, myself, and some of the recreation staff will be attending the award ceremony on Friday evening to get that award for an outstanding park and the partnership with Game Time and getting that grant for the special needs playground to have the all-inclusive playground there.
Awesome. Thank you, Ken. Mm-hmm. That's a good reminder. Is that in Chicago again?
Yeah, it's the conference is downtown Chicago.
Good for you. Yeah, you should have said something under your park board report.
Well, I was going to bring it up anyhow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate that. That's good. Okay, well, so that...
We got the award a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's okay. You're getting some recognition. We got awards last year, too, didn't we?
The last 3 years.
Yeah. Are we presenting this year? Anything? Didn't we present last year?
Shay presented on our special events last year. Jake's actually presenting this year. He was asked through the Eastern Illinois University to present on it. Even though he's been here more than 5 years, they wanted him to present on the first 5 years and what it's like for a new employee graduating going to the Parks and Rec field with me. Like, so he's presenting Friday morning.
Nice.
Down at the conference.
And Shay, she wears the Bears gear to the nines. I'm just telling you.
She did a very nice job.
She did, yes.
We at least enjoyed it this year. We'll see about
that. Take them 1 year at a time. I figure it's actually one decade. We won this year. It'll be another 10 years. So.
I might add a comment that you only got to enjoy that for a week.
Was it even a week? Were both games on Saturdays, or was one a Sunday and one was a Saturday?
One was a Saturday, the other was a Sunday.
I think the one where the Packers lost was a Sunday.
That was a Saturday.
Oh, that was a Saturday?
That was a Saturday.
Oh,
the epic collapse, that was a Saturday.
Which epic collapse? There were several.
I know.
And there were a couple against the Bears, in fact.
Two.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just crazy. And they kept the coach? They extended him?
I have no comment on that.
And you can dial 1-800-553- City, if you want to call, there's one free line. Okay, so where were we? Clerk, community. Oh, either you, Craig, or Chris.
I'm not sure how to follow it, but I'll.
Oh, if you don't want to, no.
Had the CBB monthly board meeting last week. We were actually in some of the space for our new location since the CBB is moving its offices. To the old Aurora Library, if any of you remember with that, it's right next to SciTech. So they are moving into that space. It is not quite done, but we were able to use the boardroom that's there, so we were able to kind of see it, get a little early view. But the reason we were there was to use the big space so we could go through our strategic plan. Consultants had presented for us, so we were getting our first look at the next step in the planning process for the organization to kind of set the path for how this organization is going to look for the next 5+ years. So, kind of exciting stuff. And if anybody wants to see a draft of that plan, let me know. I will share that out. So,
does it have the interiors and the paint colors and all that stuff?
It does, actually. Oh. It's blue and yellow.
Oh, perfect. Oh, I love it. I love it. Is it fluorescent?
Not quite.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Soling, anything you want to report on? Okay, thank you. Are there any citizen comments on anything about the Bears, Packers, anything else? Anyone? Anyone in Zoom land?
Somebody did.
What? Where?
That was Brad Chamberlain. Yeah, we'll unmute him.
Oh, okay. Thank you for pointing it out. I always miss those hands. I look over here. Oh, there. I double missed it. Oh, okay. So, are you unmuting him?
He is. Yeah, he's unmuted.
Brad, I think it's your turn. You had some items you wanted to discuss, or just comment on, because we don't do a back and forth discussion. We just listen.
Sounds good. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Brad Chamberlain, and I appreciate the chance to speak tonight because what Yorkville is considering with these data center proposals has implications far beyond city limits. The decisions that you guys make affect the entire area, and the residents who live next door to these projects are asking for clarity and accountability that they don't feel that they're getting. I'm not speaking against data centers because I'm against development. Data centers might be beneficial for our economy and part of our overall growth, but growth only works when it's planned with long-term impacts in mind and when residents feel heard, not rushed past or ignored completely. Right now, Yorkville is moving through multiple data center proposals at a pace that has left a lot of people feeling unheard. And based on the public feedback you've received and reports coming out from across the country on the negative impact of data centers, the concerns they're raising aren't unreasonable. They're not anti-growth either. They're just asking for basic assurances about water usage, energy strain, noise, impact to energy and infrastructure, emergency services, and the general quality of life. A data center does not stay neatly within one city's boundaries. These types of projects touch our county roads, the stormwater systems, emergency response capacity, our energy infrastructure, the water supply, and overall future of growth for the entire county. When each township is left to tackle these projects independently, we end up with conflicting standards, conflicting expectations, and residents who don't trust the process or the people involved. What we want is simple, transparency, time to understand the issues, and proof that someone is looking out for our needs and the long-term impacts, not just the immediate revenue or the improvements to surrounding roads. And right now, there isn't enough coordination to give any municipality a full picture. So here's my ask tonight. Yorkville should consider a temporary moratorium on data center development until Kendall County, Oswego, Montgomery, Plano, and all of the other municipalities can establish a coordinated review process and shared standards. A pause is not a rejection of these projects. A pause is good governance, and it shows, and it's how you prevent unintended consequences and protect your residents. And there are concrete steps that we should take during that pause. We should create a joint review subcommittee for large developments. This isn't to slow down growth or add additional bureaucracy, but to ensure that every community has access to the same information, the same experts, and the same long-term impact assessments. We should require developer-funded impact studies managed by the municipality or the county, not the developer, chosen from a list of consultants vetted by our elected officials. Because if a project stands to generate and earn millions of dollars, it should pay for the studies needed to evaluate it fairly and provide ample opportunity for third-party review. We should establish uniform standards across the county for noise, water usage, generator testing, stormwater management, and emergency response. Residents should have consistent protections no matter what side of the boundary line they live on. We need to require long-term infrastructure planning with utility partners, and this should be a 10 to 20 year view, not a 10 to 20 month one. And finally, build land use guarantees and decommissioning plans into the approval process because no township should be left holding an empty shell if a project collapses. None of these ideas are anti-development. They drive responsible development. They're how you show your residents that growing is being handled thoughtfully, transparently, and with their long-term quality of life in mind. Yorkville has the opportunity right now to set the tone for the entire county, to say and show that you're not rushing this, that you're doing it right, and you're setting a standard. I'm asking you to pause, coordinate with the county and neighboring townships, and make these decisions, or make sure these decisions are made with a complete picture, not just the pieces that are in front of you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bart, if you want to give your email, if anyone listening, including Mr. Chamberlain, would like to email Bart, he has done a couple presentations, and a lot of the questions that were raised tonight have been looked at and answered. So, Bart, why don't you give your email, I don't know if you type it in or what, how you do that.
Yeah, I did type it into the chat. It's bolson@yorkville.il.us. I also am active right now through the city's Facebook page on different articles and data center groups that have questions, just trying to provide information. And there is a fair amount of information on the city's website, both related to project-specific information for every data center development, but then also some guidelines as to what the city has done really for the past 2.5 years that we've been reviewing different data center projects and trying to manage development issues as it comes up.
And Bart, I guess one other thing I would add is in the last 8 months, we've had this data center items on the agenda or discussion probably 12 times, 14 times.
Yeah, it's been a frequent topic. I'm happy to look up just the length of time that certain developments have been submitted to approval over time. And my off-the-cuff sense is that data centers are probably taking at least twice as long number of meetings and month-wise as a normal residential development or even a Costco would. So, but I'll prove that out with some of the data. And certainly appreciate the concern.
Thank you. I see no other hands in Zoom land. So we will go to executive session. And for the press and anyone else attending, there will be no action aside from adjournment after executive session. You're welcome to stick around, but there will be no action other than adjournment. So I'm looking for a motion and a second. This is a roll call to go into executive session for the purposes of litigation that is pending or it's pending. So, okay, motion, please.
So moved.
I heard Merrick and Transier. And we need a roll call, please.
Cornels?
Aye.
Transier?
Yeah.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
No.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I should have said present. Oh.
Okay, it's 9:13 p.m. We're back in a regular session. Transier, motion, Funkhauser second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Post. Oh, Cornels gets to stay and clean up.